Denise Holton lived in a house that had once been owned by her grandparents. After their deaths, it had become her mother's. Then, eventually, it had passed on to her. It wasn't much, a small, ramshackle building set on 3 acres, built in the 1920s. The 2 bedrooms and the living room weren't too bad, but the kitchen was in dire need of modern appliances and the bathroom didn't have a shower. At both the front and back of the house, the porches were sagging, and without the portable fan, she sometimes felt as if she would bake to death. But because she could live there rent-free, it was exactly what she needed. It had been her home for the past 3 months. Staying in Atlanta, the place she'd grown up, would have been impossible. Once Kyle was born, she'd used the money her mother had left her to stay at home with him. At the time, she considered it a temporary leave of absence. Once he was a little older, she'd planned to go back to teaching. The money, she knew, would run out eventually, and she had to earn a living. Besides, teaching was something she'd loved. She'd missed her students and fellow teachers after her first week away. Now, years later, she was still at home with Kyle, and the world of teaching in a school was nothing but a vague and distant memory, something more akin to a dream than a reality. She couldn't remember a single lesson plan or the names of the students she had taught. If she didn't know better, she would have sworn that she'd never done it at all. Youth offers the promise of happiness, but life offers the realities of grief. Her father, her mother, her grandparents, all gone before she turned 21. At that point in her life, she'd been to 5 different funeral homes, yet legally couldn't enter a bar to wash the sorrow away. She'd suffered more than her fair share of challenges, but God, it seemed, couldn't stop at just that. Like Job's struggles, hers continued to go on. Middle-class lifestyle? Not anymore. Friends you've grown up with? You must leave them behind. A job to enjoy? It is too much to ask. And Kyle, the sweet, wonderful boy for whom all this was done, in many ways he was still a mystery to her. Instead of teaching, she worked the evening shift at a diner called Eight's, a busy hangout on the outskirts of Edmonton. The owner there, Ray Toller, was a 60-something black man who'd run the place for 30 years. He and his wife had raised 6 kids, all of whom went to college. Copies of their diplomas hung along the back wall, and everyone who ate there knew about them. Ray made sure of that. He also liked to talk about Denise. She was the only one, he liked to say, who'd ever handed him a resume when interviewing for the job. Ray was a man who understood poverty, a man who understood kindness, a man who understood how hard it was for single mothers. "In the back of the building, there's a small room," he'd said when he hired her. "You can bring your son with you as long as he doesn't get in the way." Tears formed in her eyes when he showed it to her. There were 2 cots, a nightlight, a place where Kyle would be safe. The next evening, Kyle went to bed in that small room as soon as she started on her shift. Hours later, she loaded him in the car and took him back home. Since then, that routine hadn't changed. She worked 4 nights a week, 5 hours a shift, earning barely enough to get by. She'd sold her Honda for an old but reliable Datsun 2 years ago, pocketing the difference. That money, along with everything else from her mother, had long since been spent. She'd become a master of budgeting, a master of cutting corners. She hadn't bought new clothes for herself since the Christmas before last. Though her furniture was decent, they were remnants from another life. She didn't subscribe to magazines. She didn't have cable television. Her stereo was an old boombox from college. The last movie she'd seen on the silver screen was Schindler's List. She seldom made long-distance phone calls to her friends. She had $238 in the bank. Her car was 19 years old, with enough miles on the engine to have circled the world 5 times. None of those things mattered, though. Only Kyle was important. But never once had he told her that he loved her.